War.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Iran, suspect nuclear weapons program. Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, is with me, and we're very pleased to welcome Andrea Stricker of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to take us inside the non-transparent JCPOA under negotiation in Vienna, on again, off again. But the details of the program are profound. Andrea, what is an IR6, and why is your discerning article concerned with it going forward? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Thank you for having me. Well, an underreported issue with the Iran nuclear deal is that it has fast expiring provisions governing Iran's ability to deploy what we call advanced centrifuge machines. These are the machines that make uranium. They enrich the material. They spin fast. And Iran has had restrictions under the Iran nuclear deal not to make these. But in fact, the restrictions sunset or expire over the period of 2024 to 2029. You mentioned the IR-6 machine. This is a machine that is five times at least more advanced than Iran's basic model centrifuges, and it has deployed over 400 of them at this point. Listeners may be thinking, well, why don't we get back into this nuclear deal and Iran will have to put them back in storage or dismantle them for a while? But in fact, you know, these restrictions come off very soon, so it would leave Iran with a legal, massively expanded enrichment capability in just a few short years. So it's not the answer.
No. And the nature of the discussions that are going on, is there any basis you think right now for the reports in the last hours that the U.S. is in the ballpark of a deal? Do you have any idea what the contours of that would be? And will it in any way satisfy all the countries in the region who have very little faith in these negotiations?
Well, the reports seem to vary day by day about the odds of reaching a deal. An NSC official, National Security Council official, McGurk, just recently said that we may be on the verge of collapse. The administration has given itself a deadline of mid-February, it sounds like. But, you know, if Iran acts like it's serious in negotiating by then, it's hard to see the administration pulling out of the talks. But the deal, whatever comes out of it, it's going to be much weaker than what the original 2015 deal even was because of the advancements made to date, the flaws in the deal, the fact that the provisions expire so soon. So it's very unlikely that it's going to satisfy Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, or other regional actors that will be worried about proliferation.
You've spoken.
Can I just ask a follow-up, John?
Yeah, sure.
Let me ask, does it really matter, though, Andrea, if they have all the knowledge, they know they have the enrichment, they know weaponization, they've developed the missiles, does it matter at all, even if they give up enriched uranium to Russia, to anybody? They know have the technical know-how and can break out at any point.
Well, that's right. The deal doesn't deal with all of this. So in 2031, they essentially can make weapons-grade uranium. Their enrichment program, their advanced centrifuges, will be back out. They can come out over 2024 to 2029, as we mentioned. And so, yeah, effectively, the deal doesn't ultimately prevent Iran from moving forward at a time of its choosing. And I think we saw that with Trump leaving the deal in 2018, Iran was able to surge its enrichment program on short order. And we know because of its past work on nuclear weapons prior to 2003, we know the program then went underground under international scrutiny. So they have probably made progress with their weaponization program. So the deal doesn't fundamentally get at any of these issues, and it expires.
Andrea, our allies know all of these details about 2031, 2024, 2026, especially Berlin, Paris, and London. Do they comment on these facts?
Well, they know, but I think the deal is being sold as a bit of a Trojan horse. They keep kicking this can down the road. They want to deal with it during a certain administration, just put it in a box for a while, and then hope that they can deal with it again later. But I think we can safely assume that the Islamic Republic threat will not be any better, you know, in a couple of years, certainly probably not by 2031 when the deal ends entirely. So it's a good deal for Iran. They might say, sure, the Americans, the Europeans want us to temporarily limit our program for a few years. Meanwhile, we get billions of dollars in revenue and trade, but then they can just roll their capabilities back out in just a matter of years.
Do you see the prospect that there are or there will be direct talks? There were several rumors going around. People are Qatari foreign minister flying to Tehran before the emir flies to Washington. Do you see this emerging out of the current negotiation rounds?
I wouldn't be surprised. I heard whispers about this about a week or two ago. So I think maybe it has been coming. It's probably been talked about quietly for a while. So we might see the Iranians and U.S. sitting down together.
2031 is right now. We can see it exactly. And does your reporting mean in 2031, Iran will have many, not one, but many opportunities to make a bomb or build bombs? Is that correct, Andrea?
That's correct. They won't be under any more restriction. So the JCPOA will be over by 2031. They can effectively legally do what they want if we do get back into the deal. And what we're trying to prevent ultimately is Iran being at what we would call the nuclear threshold. So you hear that in the news now and then. What is the nuclear threshold? Well, according to a definition we're developing at FDD, it's really when a state is so advanced with its ability to build nuclear weapons that they could be unstoppable if they chose to make them. So that's not the end game we want to see, you know, in the out years of this deal. And certainly it's a problem now if there is no deal. So there does need to be a new negotiation, but we can't pick an old and outdated framework that is too flawed to fundamentally address it.
The restrictions on the ballistic missiles, which is such a vital program, let alone all their support for terrorism, which is ignored completely, and they are manifesting it more and more globally. But the missile program, we know that they did these launches recently. We know that the real purpose is to advance their ballistic missile capacity. None of this is addressed. So is there any way for an agreement to be reached that will limit their ballistic missile advancement?
I think it's hard to see that happening anytime soon, absent in any kind of massive economic pressure campaign by the U.S. and Europe. So the Iranians have always said that the missile program is off limits. The JCPOA, effectively restricted launches, but it only used weak language to do so. And then it limited imports related to the missile program. Those restrictions come off, though, in 2023. So essentially, an Iranian missile program that is totally unhindered is coming. It's just right around the corner. That's one of the flaws in the JCPOA and the UN resolution that implements it. So it's not a good situation.
Your report indicates that the Institute for Science and International Security estimates that Iran, using 650 IR-6 machines, could make enough weapons-grade uranium for a bomb in a month. Do they possess 650? We have 30 seconds, Andrea.
Yes, I think they have the materials for that, and they have the plan to put more out. So I counted over 400 already in place, and I think they do have the capability to put the others out if they'd like.
No, please go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that will lower their breakout time significantly once these advanced models go out.
Andrea Stricker of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Malcolm Honlein Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.